Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, July 26, 2011, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts Lavendar and Sierra. Our special guest this evening is an author, healer, and lecturer named Karis Brown Malloy. Her recent book entitled Journal of a Starseed is one which I know you'll relate to. When her unexpected awakening took place while she was in college, earning her master's degrees in health and psychology, she feared for her sanity because she thought she was having hallucinations. And then, as they were systematically verified as valid, she started getting the true picture of what was happening while leading a double life, one as a normal student and the other working with angels, ghosts, fairies, even to performing an exorcism on a child's playroom. The second half of her book is called All Roads Lead to Aliens, complete with her stories of high strangeness, which she'll be sharing with us tonight, and the revelation that she has been a lifelong contactee and a starseed soul. Her website is www.journalofastarseed.com. In the second half of the show, our guest from a few weeks ago, Renee Barnett, who's the producer of Bloodline, the movie, will be stopping in to share some great news with us, so stay tuned. We would like to thank Purple Sage and Tammy for hosting the chat room and switchboard tonight. Purple Sage will be forwarding your questions to us from the chat room for those who can't call in. And if you can call, our number is 917-889-8292. And then press 1 so we know you have something to say. You can also listen on your computer at blogtalkradio.com/starseed-radio-academy. As always, we ask you to be brief and please only questions or comments relating to our guest this evening. Now, before we get started, I'd like to remind you that if you'd register as a listener here at Blog Talk Radio and then click on our show page, the word follow, it would really help to get our show featured, which would help us reach more starseeds. We've had almost 45,000 listens to our show and so far only 368 followers. So please register for free and click the word follow on our show page and then tell a friend. The Starseed Radio Academy is grateful for your help. If you haven't visited our main site yet, which is starseedhotline.com, we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our Vault of Knowledge. The entire site is coded for Starseed activation. We also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. Plus, we're on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go. Now, we'll be getting started in just a moment, but first I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. If you'd like our Stage 1 Starseed confirmation, you'll get your natal and progress charts plus an MP3 of your reading pointing out and explaining your star markings if you have them. Our Stage 2 readings are a one-on-one phone consultation, which is available only after your confirmation if you want to go deeper. Make sure your birth info is exact to the minute and include your place of birth as well as your current place of residence. If any of that is missing, it'll delay your reading until we can find out. And don't forget, if you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by requesting your solar return timing. Your manifestational ability is amplified 1,000-fold during those 10 hours, so make the most of it. And now I'd like to introduce my co-hosts, Lavendar and Sierra. Good evening.
Hello.
I'm here, Lavendar here. We have a really exciting story tonight, and so I'm really anxious to start it. So why don't we just go right to it and have our guests come on.
All right. I would like to now introduce to you, as soon as I get the microphone open, there we go, Karis Brown Malloy. Welcome, Karis. We're happy to have you.
Hi. Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, we know a little bit about your story, and we're anxious for for you to kind of start at the beginning. Lavendar, do you have some lead-in questions you want to do?
Well, I asked her to give us some of the highlights of the book that she has written, which is Journal of a Starseed. So, Karis, why don't you just start at whatever's comfortable for you to start with. Just start telling us your story.
All right, sure. Well, the story started, at least the portion told in the book, in college. And I had a very kind of normal, quote, fingers, you know, upbringing. And I was taught that all that was real was a three-dimensional reality. There was no such thing as spirits unless they were demons or possibly angels, but the people really didn't interact with angels. So anything metaphysical at all had to be demonism and to be very afraid and run the other way. So when I was in college and I started hearing voices and seeing visions, I thought that I was experiencing either the onset of adult onset schizophrenia or multiple personality disorder. And I was terrified. And so I didn't know who to tell. And then these visions and clairaudience, they started telling me things that would come true always. One really good example is when I was sitting in traffic, I was pulling up to a stoplight outside my dorm, and there was a white van in the lane to my right. And I was pulling up, and the van was ahead of me, and a voice in my head said, hit the brakes, because if you keep going, the van is going to swerve over and it could hit you and hurt you. So it happened so fast, I just followed the direction and tapped my brakes a little bit, and then sure enough, about a second later, the van swerved over and would have hit me. And that was the first time that I kind of stopped in my tracks and said to myself, that was not a hallucination. How would I have known that? This turning signal wasn't on, nothing like that. So luckily, through some serendipity and synchronicity, I met people who kind of directed me on my path. And one woman I worked with said, well, why don't you try this bookshop? And then the first time I went, it was the first metaphysical bookshop I had ever been in. And the first time I went, my Reiki teacher, as she ended up being, was giving a presentation. So I went to the presentation, and then she says, you should take Reiki from me. And I will say that I have never been able to track her down since I finished getting my Reiki training from her. I even called the store where I met her and where she regularly went, and the owners who've owned it for years and years, well before I met her, say they have no recollection of this person, say they remember everyone who came in, and they don't remember anyone who fit her description or had her name. So don't know. Yeah, I don't know what that is, but the first thing I like to start with is the first time I ever had a clear vision, and it was scary. I was sitting in my living room, and I lived with my then boyfriend at the time, and this was right when I was learning Reiki, and I was first being introduced to concepts like reincarnation, and my Reiki teacher told me that I hailed not from Earth, that I was from another star system, and she described what I looked like, and she described that I worked a lot with crystals, and so I just kind of set that aside because I wasn't really into the whole extraterrestrial thing. I didn't think it was not true. It just wasn't in my space. I was too busy learning about what's going on here on Earth. And so that was a whole other level that didn't even come back for almost 10 years. I just kind of tucked that away in the back of my mind because it's easy to think about when it's, thousands and thousands of years ago, that's where your soul originally came from, you know, kind of a gentle descent into the truth of things. So I'm sitting in my living room, and my boyfriend walked into the other room and kind of cracked the door behind him. It wasn't completely closed. And in my mind's eye, and the way I describe it in the book, and I'm sure a lot of you guys definitely and a lot of the listeners will understand this, it's as if you see it in your mind, you don't see it with your eyes. It's as if you imagined that it was there, but you didn't imagine it. Sometimes it's something you've never seen before or you weren't thinking of anything like that. I don't see with my physical eyes, but they, you know, clear vision or third eye seeing. So around the edge of the door, I see long green fingers curl one by one around the edge, and then in my mind's eye, I see the door slightly open, and around the edge of it looks a face at me, and then it smiles. And it was not a nice smile, and it was not a remotely human face. It was a humanoid creature, entity, but it wasn't at all human. I had never seen anything like that. The closest thing I can think of to describe him, because it was definitely male, he was definitely male, was what the Grinch looks like. He didn't seem reptilian to me. He didn't seem scaly or smooth skin. He seemed almost kind of furry, slightly, and I was terrified. He was looking right at me, and he's smiling at me, and my boyfriend didn't believe in any of this, so I didn't know what to say. I didn't say anything, and I just sat there frozen, and it went away. And then he came back out and sat down. I kind of called him there and said, hurry up, because my thought was, he's in there with him. I don't want him in there with him. I don't like him in there with him. So hurry back out and come back and sit next to me. So the next day that I saw my Reiki teacher, because I was still training, I asked her what the heck that was, because she hadn't described anything like that happening to me. And she goes into a meditation, and she told me about who it was, and she told me about our soul history together, and that apparently in some far back previous incarnation, I had done something to this entity and hurt him. And I wasn't very nice in that incarnation, and I had done something to cause damage. And so he had been following me around from incarnation to incarnation, screwing with me and doing things to make my life difficult. And sometimes I guess he would even hurt me or those who I loved. And I had never been able to see him before because my soul, since then I created negative karma for myself. My soul hadn't progressed to where I could actually see him again until now. So now I could see him, and she said, I'm going to do a spell, because she went into meditation to see what this was, and she asked her guides to help her. She said, I'm going to do a tapping spell, so close your eyes, don't open your eyes. We were absolutely alone in her house. She had a staff, a wooden staff, and she starts tapping it. She had a stone tile floor, and she starts tapping it, and my eyes are closed, and she's tapping in this rhythm, and then from all over her house, I hear these other taps going in rhythm with her. At first, they were kind of not in the rhythm. There was one from down the hallway, and then one from across the room, and then one from the adjoining room. And I was thinking to myself, I know no one's running the house. I know there's no one here. What are these taps? Because nothing had happened to me in three-dimensional reality before. And they speed up. She's speeding up the taps and speeding them up, and then wham, they stop with one great tap all in unison. And then she says, okay, you can open your eyes. And I open my eyes, and there's no one there but me and her. And she says, he won't be able to find you now. We've shrouded you. He won't be able to hurt you. And I've never seen hide nor hair of this person or this entity ever again. So that's the first one.
Wow.
Yeah. She explained a lot more, which is in the book, about what happened, but that would take too long to tell. So, do you want me to go on? Or?
Oh, please do.
Okay. So the second one. I was on my honeymoon with my husband, and I picked up a book in just a bookstore whenever we passed them. We love to go into them, and I could spend hours and hours in there. And, of course, I always go to the metaphysical section. And it was called Enam Kara, something about contacting your guardian angel, your Celtic guardian angel, because Enam Kara, it means soul friend. So it was a handbook with guided meditations on how to contact your, quote, Celtic guardian angel. And, you know, now I've discovered what these guides and guardians and angels almost always are. They're extraterrestrials. But still at the time, I wasn't really aware. And so I'm in the car, and my husband's driving. We're driving for a long time, and I decided to go and start the first meditation. I was really excited. So I went to my safe place. I was taught how to create a safe place that I always go to in any meditation back when I was doing my Celtic shamanism training, which had me also train enough in different dimensions so that now my contact as a contactee is easier because I can just kind of pop in and out because I learned how to do that back then. So I'm going to my safe place and I invite her there, and then she comes. Well, I didn't know it was going to be a female at the time. And she was tall. She had deep auburn hair, almost a jewel color, and it was long and wavy. And she had great big almond-shaped blue-purple eyes. They were a very unique color. And she came and she talked to me and we chatted about things and she gave me some insights into some things. And I would go back and visit her every so often. I never did finish the book, but I got sidetracked. You know how those things go. Mm-hmm. And then months and months and months and months later, after the next high strangeness event I'll tell you about, I was listening to all of these videos and all of these audio clips about extraterrestrials because the bug kind of had gotten me by now, and I was searching for information and seeing crazy synchronicities with my life and remembering things that I had forgotten about my childhood and all of these type of events. And I heard a woman come over a YouTube video, and she said, I'm not giving out my name because I don't want anyone to know who I am because I have a family and I know what could happen to me if I released that I believed in these things and I have a business and I can't do this. And so she said, I'll tell you what happened, but I'm going to stay anonymous. And she starts describing a trip that she had, a contactee trip where she was taken up into a ship, and one of the women who were the nurses, she said they seemed like nurses in her dream. Oh, and first of all, her contactee trip resonated extremely exactly right there with a dream I had had about 2 weeks ago about going up into a ship. And even in my dream journal, I wrote in all caps, was this first contact, you know. And anyway, so now I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I was in a group of 8 to 10 people. Oh, my gosh. I was on a smaller craft and then got taken to this gigantic craft. Oh, my gosh. And then she starts describing this woman. And she had long, wavy, auburn hair. She had almond-shaped, blue-purple eyes, kind of electric brightness to them. And I stopped whatever I was doing because I would always have the audio on as I was puttering around my apartment. And I just stood there and these chills and all up and down my body. And I said, oh, my gosh, she's talking about my Anam Kara. It sounds exactly like her. I've never heard anyone describe anything like that. So then I contacted the woman and I said, I know that I'm going to sound like I don't know what and I never do this, but I just have to contact you. And we actually ended up being pretty good friends and we talk regularly now, and I'm an administrator on a forum that she started, which has cracked open all these other things for me. But that's the second high strangeness. That took about a year to come all together because I saw my Anam Kara, didn't think about it for a good 6 months, and then heard it on the video. So that's the second. And then the third is kind of in between those two spots. I was on a road trip with my husband, and we were driving through Iowa at the time, which is, you know, lots of flatlands. We were at a spot where there were no houses, not really any trees, just flatland. And I had driven from about midnight. It was sometime in the mid to late morning because I like driving at night. The light puts me to sleep, so I like when the roads are empty. My husband had taken over, and I was finally laying back my chair to go to sleep. I had a little eye cover over my eyes, and it takes me a long time in the car to settle down enough. And so I was finally drifting off lower and lower into sleep to just reach that point where you're going to get some rest. And then my husband says, Paris, I think you should see this. He never says things like that to me. So, of course, you know, I sit up and I tear my eye thing off. And in front of us, across the horizon, is this round, well, it was like a disc, cloud that had ripples on the front of it and was as solid as anything solid, like a rock. It looked like you could reach up and knock on it. It was so low to the ground that it was only looked about maybe a skyscraper off the ground, and underneath it was black. You couldn't see anything. And it covered the entire far horizon. And we were going to drive right under it. And I'm looking at this thing, and I'm thinking to myself, I do not want to go under there. Some primordial feeling, fear, gripped me. And I was paralyzed in the seat. And I'm not really a fearful person at all. It kind of takes a lot to scare me. So to not only be afraid, but to be this crazily afraid, I didn't know what was happening. This is my introduction to extraterrestrials. I hadn't thought much about them before this. And I didn't think about what it was. I didn't know what it was. All I knew was that I did not want to go under there. But on the other hand, I had kind of a researcher's curiosity. I said, well, there was a lip that curved down so you couldn't see what was underneath the cloud. And I thought, I kind of want to see what the bottom of that cloud looks like. And on the other side of my brain is going, oh, I don't want to go. So there was nothing to do about it, though. I mean, it was coming in our direction, and there was only one road or in the middle of nowhere, and everyone else on the road is driving, and I'm thinking to myself, as I have often thought since whenever I see things in the sky, is that there are all these people, and no one else is seeing this but me. They're not paying attention. And so we drive under it, sure enough, and I'm terrified. And I look up, and the lip extends under for just a little while, and then you could see these strange curling, still solid cloud formations, light and dark, and all of these shades of gray and brown. And it looked like, the closest thing I can think to describe it to is the bottom of a jellyfish. Do you know how it has those curls and ripples and kind of hanging flaps of tissue? That's kind of what it looked like. Uh-huh. And I'm absolutely terrified. The more it wasn't raining, not a drop of rain, but it was black. No sun was getting through. And the winds were whipping around underneath it. There were transfer trucks with us on the road. They were getting blown from side to side. And it was pretty scary. And I'm flipping out quietly on my side of the car. And then all of a sudden, I hear this voice in my mind, as clear as a bell. And it said, "Stay calm." It said, I'm trying to remember the exact words. I want to get it right, but I don't think I'll get it exactly right. But the closest thing coming to mind at the moment is, so calm as you remain, that's how calm we'll be. And, of course, since I was already pretty terrified, and it was said with absolute control. But to someone who doesn't really hear voices like that very often, it sounded scary, because that absolute control, that sternness, is terrifying, especially when you're flipping out in your mind. And so instantly, I mean, I wasn't arguing with that. I said, Terry, I'm going to meditate. I laid my feet back, and I slowed my heart rate, and I slowed my breathing how I'd been trained to do. And it was hard, but I kept it going. We drove under this cloud for a good 20 minutes before it ended, just as solidly as it had started. And then there were normal clouds in the sky. And we went to get gas, and I asked the woman behind the counter, "Do you guys often have storms like that out here?" And she looked at me, and she said, "Oh, yeah, I guess." And she didn't even notice, you know, and so I'm thinking that was weird. And after that is when all of these things started to happen to me. That's when I got kind of obsessed with researching UFOs and seeing it from a researcher standpoint, but never thinking that I could be having any direct contact. I just thought my spirit guides were my spirit guides and that my angels were my angels. And I didn't ever make the connection until months and months and months later. And that's my last high strangeness. I forgot this one I'd like to tack on to the end, because it was on one of the star markings days. As I was reading The Discovery of Star Markings that Lavendar wrote, I was going through my journals, and so much of what has happened to me was on those dates. This thing happened on November 16th, and I was meeting with an intuitive friend of mine. And you guys know when you meet with intuitive friends of yours, yeah, you talk about some normal stuff, but then sometimes you play and give each other mini readings and tell what you're getting and all that kind of stuff. Well, she was giving me a little reading, and she said, you have a new guide. So you have a new spirit guide. He's your drumming guide. He's going to teach you about rhythms, not about actual sound rhythms, really, but about cosmic rhythms and how to use rhythms and how to use the rhythms of the universe. And I'm saying, okay. And I had this new guide, and she told me he had a rune that represented his name. And only recently have I learned what that rune is, actually. But that's a whole other story. But I pictured the rune every day in meditation after that and recall him, and I could never see him all that clearly. I could kind of see like a shadowy type of form, but I didn't try to really pick him out because he was right there, and he would tell me a couple tips, and I would write him in my journal a couple lines, and it would help me with whatever I was going through. And one time he even showed me how energy moves around in any space. Afterward, I realized the link between that and feng shui principles, but he kind of showed me how it's almost like ribbons. It moves like ribbons in this visual that he gave me. And I wrote about it in more detail in Journal of the Starseed. But he showed how, whether or not you like it, at any space you're in, you are affecting the energy because it's literally imprinting you. And then it moves on to the next thing as it's constantly moving. And it's going to carry that vibration, that imprint of you, and touch everything else that it touches. And since energy is constantly moving, then it's going to touch everything eventually. So things you can do to create positive impacts from your presence anywhere are really simple. Things like breathing deeply, things like using good posture, because when your posture is good, your chakras are aligned, and then your energy body is healthier and bigger, and it has more beneficial interactions with everything around yourself. And also, when you know you're affecting the energy, you can affect it so much better than all of the people running around in stress sleepwalking mode who don't realize what they're doing. And if you want to impact it beneficially, then you're even 1,000 times stronger than that. So that's how one person in a room of 100, 200, 300 can change the vibration of the entire room for the good, is just by doing something that simple. So those are the type of lessons that he would give me. And I just thought he was a spirit guide. And then a couple months later, I was talking to my friend who I had met, who'd made the video about the Anam Cara, who matched with my Anam Cara. I was talking to her, and she said, you know, sometimes, we were discussing this, rhythm teacher, sometimes when people have spirit guides, they're actually extraterrestrials, you know. I said, oh, yeah, I know, whatever. And I didn't think about it for mine until a couple seconds later, and I started just letting my mind work around that possibility, and I thought to myself, might my rhythm teacher be? And as soon as I asked the question, I was cut off by this huge, resounding, visceral yes that went through my entire body. I'm sitting down on the phone with her, and I'm thinking, okay, I got it, got the message, thanks. So the next time I went to see him, I asked to actually see him, and he's actually a gray. Well, he's not gray. He's not one of the small ones, and his skin is not gray at all. It's a tan color. He's about 7 feet tall. He's one of those, you know, there are different types of grays. There are the small 3-foot ones that have to do with abductions a lot, and then there are the 7-foot ones that have to do more with contactees and with directing, sometimes the smaller ones. And then they say there are even taller ones. I've never seen one of those. They're pretty rare, I guess. But this is one of those, and I go talk to him every day. And actually, since I've learned to type, I started typing as I meditated with my eyes closed. And so now, rather than giving me a couple of lines, he gives me paragraphs every day. And sometimes it has to do with world events, but not usually. Usually it just has to do with my own ascension and development and learning to clear up things that are keeping me from ascending in my own energy field, learning to further my own evolution in this lifetime and ascend. Yeah. So that is my high strangeness.
and you're alive to talk about it.
Yes.
Well, Karis, when you were really young, did you have any kind of inkling, any kind of a experience that you thought everyone did and then later found out that it was just you?
You know, it's a little bit difficult to remember. I only remember a few things from our childhood, but the ones that I do remember are very vivid. And I know I had an imaginary friend. I always played, you know, they say ask kids what they like to play, and that shows you pieces of their soul. And my games were always spiritual. I was always a priestess. I was always a wizard. I was always things like that. And the most intense one that I can say, and the one that kind of brought it into reality for me, even now, when I uncovered the memory, because I'd forgotten all about it, and I confirmed it with both of my parents who did remember. You know how children, when they're learning to draw, I was very much into art after this, but before I was very small. When they're learning to draw, first they do scribbles, and they do dots and circles, and then they start drawing images that actually look like things. You get the house, it's a box and a triangle, and there's a tree that looks more like a lollipop than a tree, that type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently, according to my parents, I skipped a couple levels there. I went from dots and scribbles to very detailed, realistic-looking drawings, kind of overnight. And what I drew a lot of people, and they were all very tall, very thin, very, very big almond-shaped eyes, tiny noses, tiny mouths, pointed chins. They were always dressed up in princess gowns or something, but that is always what I drew. And I can even remember erasing an eye and making it a little bit bigger and making a chin a little bit more pointed and the nose a little bit smaller, because that's what I thought the epitome of beauty was for some reason. And I remember sitting at my dining room table drawing these pictures, and my mom was bustling around doing what mothers do when you're little. You don't really know, but they're just kind of always there. And I was all proud of myself. I must have been about 3 or 4 at the time. And I said, Mom, come look at what I've done. Look at my pictures. And I remember her coming over, and I had drawn pictures like this before, but she had never said anything. And she stands next to me, and she kind of slides the pictures over to her across the table with her fingertips. And she says, Karis, do you see people that look like this? Do you see people that look like this? And she was confused, and she didn't say anything, but I could feel the uncomfortable feelings just washing off of her. So I knew what I better not say, not because I was going to get in trouble, but because I didn't want to scare my mom. So I said, no, I don't know. I don't know why I draw stuff look like this. I don't know. And as much as I rack my brain, I can't remember the true answer. I don't know what it is, but now it's kind of easy to tell because I wasn't allowed to watch any type of movies that had that stuff in it. We were very religious, and I wasn't allowed to watch anything with aliens, anything with ghosts, anything with spirits, nothing. So I wasn't exposed to any of that, so I would have known what it looked like. It was coming from somewhere, though. Yeah.
And do you think you had a, you know, relatively normal after, you know, when children get to be like 5 or 6, they kind of get programmed away from that that openness. So would you say that, you know, your the rest of your school life was just like any other kid?
Oh, yeah. Well, pretty much. I mean, I always felt different. And I was multiracial in a town of no other multiracial. So that made me feel different, too. But the only thing I can say was really actually strange was that I've always been an empath. So being around groups of people is difficult because I can feel everybody's emotions. And for a lot of times, it was difficult for me to articulate that, why going Christmas shopping in the mall would drain me and I would have to sleep, or why other people being upset would just automatically make me upset, until I found out about what an empath is, which was fairly after all this stuff. So that's really the only thing that happened. I mean, sometimes I had strange dreams that now make sense, but, you know, you write that off as dreams. So, yeah, pretty normal until I kind of let myself remember all of the abnormal things. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that a lot of our audience is relating, because I'm sitting here myself with similar, you know, kind of parallel things, and there was a point about, you know, early 20s when, and I really started searching and trying to go deeper and find out answers and truths, and I was always much more serious and philosophical than anybody else my age. So do you feel like that would be the case for you as well?
Oh, absolutely. I was a shrink since I was born, you know. I mean, everyone I know has always come to me, Karis, what do you think I should do? Or I'm always the comforter. I'm always the one who talks about the deep questions. In the book, I wrote about how me and my friend would sit in high school and discuss the mysteries of the universe. You know, and one of the few times that I did have contact as a high schooler, I just thought it was God, because I was an atheist at the time, an atheist agnostic. I didn't understand how God could be real after my very strict religious upbringing. I was kind of breaking out of that. You know, a lot of people go through that. They kind of swing the other way before they realize that the truth is actually something in the middle. But yeah, pretty much when I was 20 was when everything cracked open, and I thought I was losing my mind, and I would kind of impulsively visit the section in my university library that discussed this type of thing, and I would almost go into a waking trance kind of and be tearing the books off the shelf and reading a couple pages and then putting it down because I see another book on the shelf that I have to read, and then I read a couple pages on that, and then I see another one, and then I would snap out of it, look around me at all of these open books. I was sitting on the floor in the middle of the library and say, oh my gosh, I have to put this stuff away. What if someone sees me? What if someone I know sees me? I've got to go home. And I would never check anything out. I would put them all back. And that was when I was 20. What I learned later, after I realized that I didn't have schizophrenia and I didn't have multiple personality disorder, a lot of times they say, if you're looking it up and you think you might, then you probably don't. I realized that not only is that the time of onset of these illnesses often, it's also the time when we have our final brain growth spurt of the frontal lobes, which are also the psychic lobes. You know, that's where all that stuff happens. So other cultures send their youth off on walkabouts and on vision quests, and that's their rite of passage spiritually at this age. Our culture says, what are you talking about? You must be crazy. So that helps to explain why a lot of that stuff comes about at that age. And that's also why I wrote the book, is for people nowadays who are having that happen, because I know there's a lot, because I've talked to them and they're freaked out and they think that they're crazy, and some of them get labeled as crazy. And I've talked to a couple of people that horrible things have happened to because of it. And so this kind of my coming out of the closet work and saying, you know what, it's not scary. It doesn't have to be. Learn how to use it. Learn how to control it. And it's just as natural as seeing or feeling. It's just that we've always been told that it's not real. Well, if we were told that taste wasn't real, and you didn't like those green round things, which were Brussels sprouts, you wouldn't really know why, just something about them didn't really seem right to you. If someone told you that you couldn't taste things your entire life, you'd forget that you could, but you would just have these strange feelings about things. That's kind of what I think is true about a lot of these sixth senses. A lot of people have it. They just squash it down and then don't know how to effectively use it as they do all their other senses.
Right. Well, we all have a lot of programming that's constantly thrown on us, and you know, certainly the religious, where you're actually afraid to have thoughts that are contrary, you know, because you might go to hell.
That's a big deterrent.
I mean,
you don't want to be wrong about that.
And you're just almost, you know, so therefore afraid to talk about things. And do you have continued contact even you know, to this day?
Oh yeah, I have daily contact now. I'm actually involved some in ICAR, which is the International Community for Alien Research, and I was just made the state director for Virginia. So I think I'll publish some of what I get. Some of it's private and just for me, but I do plan on continuing to write about what happened. So at the time of the writing of Journal of a Starseed, I wasn't yet with the fluidity of it that I am now, with just being able to sit down and type it out as I'm going. And I have to go back and spell check afterward. But yeah, I mean, every day that I meditate, I have contact every single day. So if I skip a meditation, I wouldn't have contact like I do. But recently, I'd say in the past month or so, it's even happened more often than when I just sit down to meditate. If I kind of want to, I'm kind of learning how to energetically plug in and maybe have many conversations and then, you know, do what I'm doing in the real world, close, at the same time. So yeah, I have pretty, I mean, as constant as I want contact.
And what kind of things do they tell you?
Mostly what we discuss is my soul's journey. So he'll tell me, he'll explain something to me. I'll say, tell me about, let's see, just the other day I was asking about the nature of reality. I was asking about jumping realities, like if, for instance, in affirmations, if you want to do a bunch of affirmations, you actually are moving into a different reality, you know, because there are all these parallels. So not only are you drawing it to you, you're also moving toward it, because somewhere there's a reality where that's already there. So the steps along the way are you getting toward it. And so he was describing how resonance works, and how by changing your resonance, not only do you change your own, but you change that of everyone around you, because as you move through universes, you are also encountering a slightly different version of everybody that you know. And that's why people start acting different, which is fine. I mean, they're all, it doesn't mean that something bad happens to the other ones. They're just, you're just encountering different ones. And that's also how certain people can come and go out of your, quote, universe. You just lose track of them because you're not resonating with each other anymore. Or certain people can come in and you feel a soul link to them immediately in either a friendship way or a romantic way. And it's because you're resonating with each other. And so you're kind of in the same vibration. So he explains things like that to me. And every now and then he'll give me a message for somebody else when I just meet someone and maybe another contactee. A couple times I've met other contactees and said, we were talking about this thing. What do you think about this thing? And he'll decode whatever the thing is for me, because I love meeting other contactees who have different pieces of the truth, and we kind of exchange our pieces, and then each of our view gets bigger on what the universe is actually like. And so he tells me that. He gives me little tips for my husband, you know, stuff like that. So it's as large as I ask or as small as I ask, or he'll just go. Like if I just say, okay, I'm here, I'm listening, what do you have to tell me? He'll just tell me things. And they differ every day. He'll usually tell me similar stuff over and over until I kind of get the point, and I do, I heal in whatever way, or I increase my ability in whatever way that he's coaching me to do. But it's always about, for my journey is about opening up the heart and learning to link the heart knowledge with the brain knowledge, because they say that's what the next step in human evolution is. That's how a lot of us are ascending, or bringing back the heart, which also has to do with the divine feminine, which also has to do with the end of duality. And so all of it is kind of coming together, and he's showing me how to do it, because he says that a lot of the ways that people can spread this awakening, it's not by proselytizing, I can never say that word, which never works. It's by living in your own truth and in your own light as much as you can, and everyone will just be influenced. Like, you don't have to tell them anything. You don't have to say anything. People will just say, my goodness, tell me about how this works, or why is it that you seem so luminous, or what is it that is happening that makes you the way that you are? And then you can say, well, I understand certain things. And they're the same in every religion when you look deep enough. It doesn't mean you don't believe in God. In fact, it means that you have probably a closer relationship with God than many of these people spouting religious rhetoric. So it's fantastic. And I just think that everyone has a different path. So what my guide tells me isn't going to be what other people's guides tell them. It's especially attuned to me and to my pattern. So I think if I were to just, like, open up the document, start reading stuff you told me, which, by the way, is interesting because it's not in a language that I speak in at all. Like, the prose is completely different, which kind of brings me back sometimes when I'm doubting myself and says, oh, no, I can write this stuff if I wanted to. It's not how I talk. And I could read it, and some people would say, oh, yeah, that resonates with me. I get it. You're expanding my knowledge of things. And other people would say, what in the heck are you talking about? You know, so so it's conditioned to each person.
Did you find it difficult to reconcile what you had been trained as a psychologist, to reconcile that third-dimensional concept of the brain and reality to these truths that you are now discovering?
Only in the beginning. Afterward, it's very easy, actually. I see how many limitations there are to the current Western cultural psychological model. It's ridiculous. People aren't even actually healed anymore that often. It's kind of just a normal thing to go see a shrink for 20 years now. So people aren't. The psychological model doesn't really work very well. And I think that a lot of it is because they ignore very important pieces of the mind and spirit that aren't ignored in all knowledge traditions, but are ignored in the Western view of psychology, which just says we're a lump of chemicals and electrical impulses and nothing else. So, but it's growing. It's getting to it. You find people making the jump every now and then, more lately. So it's heartening to see.
Yeah. Well, certainly, if a psychologist could heal somebody or cure somebody in one visit, then they'd be out of business before you know it.
That's the dilemma, isn't it?
Sierra, do you have Sierra is also a contactee, and you have yet to meet her, and she's got probably some similar stories. Sierra, you want to ask some questions of Karis?
I think it's just an amazing, amazing journey that you've been on, and it's always makes my heart feel good to hear someone who's had a similar journey as me.
Oh, yes, definitely.
So, you know, it's good to know I'm not the only one out there that just has all this strange highness constantly happening, you know.
Right.
So
right.
Thank you so much for your bravery and your involvement with UFO and all, you know, contact groups and different things like that. We need a lot more of us out there, you know, bringing people together and making them feel like they're not crazy, and no, you're not schizophrenic, and no, you're not split personality, and yes, you are empathic, but you know, the same, it's just really interesting. It just, it's a little bit different, but there's a lot of similarity, and we find that as we, you know, meet more and more of us and bring us together. So thank you so much for being out there and talking to people, and don't really have any questions or anything. Maybe you just could probably love to chat with you someday. Just get on the phone and yammer on about, you know, our experiences. That would be, it'd be fun. So,
thank you. It's so much fun. Thank you.
Thank you for being on our show.
Thanks, Sierra. Well, we're going to check with our chat room here. Hello, Purple Sage.
Hello, I had my mic behind my head.
And hello, people in the chat room, hello.
They're all saying hello.
That's nice, hi.
Well, I have three questions.
Okay.
And this is all so interesting. No, I didn't. Somebody in the chat room had a vision the other night, very strong, about a huge ship coming to Earth. They were wondering if you had the same vision.
I didn't have it the other night, but I will say I have been up on a ship before, not physically, but on the astral or the etheric level, I don't know which one, and it's huge, gigantic. I mean, hundreds of stories, bigger than a mountain range, gigantic, gigantic. So I know, I think that there are some already here, and they've been here. So I don't know. I didn't see one coming, but that doesn't mean that they're not coming. I think that Earth is a big hotspot right now, and everyone wants to see what's happening because we're ascending, and it's a pretty unique thing in the universe. So that's also why there's so many starseeds here right now to help out. And we're very interesting to people from all over because we're kind of breaking a code that is going to help a lot of other planets, not just ours. So that's why we're so interesting to other species.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay. You had mentioned that your family is very religious, and one of our viewers wants to know, when you came out of the starseed closet, so to speak, what was their reaction, and how did you deal with that?
Well, actually, it was very nice because we were very religious when I was a child. But when I was about 13 or 14, we broke out of it. So by the time I was having these experiences, I was about 20. That was a good 7 years after. And my father, actually, was the one who even taught me to meditate because by now he was Taoist, and so he understood meditation. And then years later, when I'm coming out of the closet, I'm telling my mother, who's actually listening right now, so hi, Mom, when I'm telling my mother, Mom, I think these things are happening, or I'm saying, do you remember that time I used to draw stuff? She says, yes. Or I'd say, I did a past life regression, and I got regressed back to when I was in vitro, and I had the feeling that I wanted to be born early. Was that? And she cut me off and said, yes, you did. I had to stop myself from labor 3 times, and you still ended up being born 2 weeks early. So they see the validation. And the interesting thing is that people, I was afraid for so many years about being called crazy or being called a liar. And now that I came out and said, you know what? Forget it. I'm going to say what I am because it's important, and everyone's shouting at me to do it, so I'm going to do it. And now I haven't gotten any of that. It's all been so positive. And I think that what happens is even when people first hear my story, maybe from someone else, and go, oh, that girl sounds like a nut job, when they see me or hear me, it's like, wait a second. She doesn't sound crazy, but what she's saying is crazy. So how do I reconcile it? So I think it's an important part of disclosure that more of us who are sane, who understand things, come out and say, yeah, me too, yeah, me too. So it was actually very nice, and I am so grateful that my journey recently, not in the beginning, there were definitely some scary parts, but it was never with extraterrestrials. It was always with earthbound spirits. At least that's what it seemed like at the time. I don't know now. But it's been very gentle, and so many things have been lined up for me, but I think it's because I had a very specific mission to do this. And so in order for me to be able to do this, things had to be the way that they were. So I know other people have had very difficult times, but it's because they had different missions. It's not better or worse. It's just they had different goals to me.
Right, right. Well, yeah. Also, you were lucky that you had a support system. You had a family, you know, who supported you. When we were talking in the chat, that there are so many people out there in institutions that are going through this.
Yes.
They don't know what it is. And, you know, they have no support system to help them. So it's really a good thing when people have their families that will support them.
Yeah. Well, at first I was in the closet for my family for a really long time, and I don't know that they necessarily would have just because it was so completely out of their paradigm. So I was hidden and tortured on the inside for a very long time, and I have definitely come across people. I've had boyfriends who have been very uncomfortable along my romantic life up until my husband, you know, and I've had people who downright kind of broke up with me over it, and it's been very scary, But what I will say is one of the things, the straws that broke the camel's back kind of, that made me write and publish the book was when I was talking to a college kid online. He was in the forum that I'm the administrator for, and we were chatting. And he said how he was having experiences a lot like mine. He told his parents about him. They put him in an institution. They drugged him up. They had him get electroshock treatments, which just gives me chills because I'm thinking that is torture, and this person is not crazy at all. He's just a mystic. And so my hope is that I have a lot of friends, because I've just come out of the closet pretty recently, so I have a lot of people now who may even be listening who are like, okay, I didn't know Carrie's had all this stuff going on. But that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping to expand awareness and say, yes, it's real. Yes, it happens. It doesn't have to be a big deal at all, any more than people who can play the guitar really well is a big deal. It's just a different thing that you can do. So being afraid of it is silly, and it's locking yourself into a closet that why be in there when reality is so much more interesting? Now, scary things do happen, and I'm not saying go fling yourself out into the metaphysical world and don't protect yourself and don't be smart about it. You do have to do research. But on the other hand, just because it ain't physical does not mean you should run screaming at all or to call someone crazy. Sometimes people are crazy, don't get me wrong, but usually I think they're probably not.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Now, the last question is mine. When you were talking about your Celtic spirit guide, and you called her Anna something.
Annam Cara, yes, it's two words. The first word is A, N as in Nancy, A, M as in Michael. Then the second word is C-A-R-A. It's just, I think it's a Celtic word that means soul friend.
Okay, excellent. Okay, that would be it then for questions at the moment.
Thank you.
But thanks, Purple Sage. We will check in again, and I'll give you a little bit of a heads up if you have people with questions. You can get them organized.
Okay.
Thanks, Sage. Bye-bye.
Yep, bye.
Well, we have some callers with questions if you would like to jump into that. We also, looking at the time, pretty soon here we should be looking for Renee Barrett, looking for her phone number to call in, because she has an exciting update concerning her. Well, I'm not going to tell you anything about it. It'll be a surprise. Okay.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah, I don't see her yet. We'll be taking a break to talk to her, and then Carrie, you stay on the line, and we'll come back to you because Renee's only has a few minutes to spend with us. So we are going to go now to the switchboard, and the first caller that we're going to bring on is Ralph. Hello, Ralph. You're on the air.
Good evening. Thank you very much for bringing me on. It's just such a wonderful program, and your guest is such a beautiful person. And
Thank you.
I just had a question about your mission, and also, generally about your mission. Does your mission include helping other starseeds who have been maybe incarcerated or been put in mental institutions, since you have a degree in psychology? I thought maybe you may have access to them to perhaps help them through what their issues are, or help them realize what's going on with them, so they can perhaps be released from those places.
It's interesting that you ask that. Okay, do you want to ask those now, or do you want me to answer one and then you ask the other?
The other thing I wanted to ask you was when you were contacted by the entities that are. How can others who have experienced these contacts be sure that these are contacts, extraterrestrial contacts?
Mm-hmm.
And how can you differentiate from the ones that the dark side is pushing on us?
Okay. Let's see. Let's start with the first one about helping people who are incarcerated or in institutions. That's a hard thing to answer, because while I have a degree in psychology, I'm not a psychologist. So I couldn't walk in and say, let me in, I'm going to go talk to some of the people, because they wouldn't let me. But on the other hand, I actually know a couple of people who are incarcerated, and I know a couple that have been. So it's kind of like having as much contact as possible, but also my thing is I'm not anybody's guru, and I can't lead people because I'm not capable of doing it. I'm not to that level. I'm still figuring stuff out myself. But what I can do and what I do love to do is direct people in ways that they can find out what's going on. And that actually, I'll answer both your questions kind of in the same way, because when you're trying to discover what you are when you feel different, or how to use your gifts that you kind of think you sort of might have. It's really interesting to see all the movies that are coming out. They say that that the art created by a culture represents the collective unconscious of that culture. And we have so many things coming out for the past several years, not that many, but not more than a few, that are about a generally normal person finding out they have amazing abilities that are totally unexpected, and learning how to control them. I think that's happening to a lot of people right now, including people who are incarcerated, because one of the things that goes along with this a lot of times are people who don't like to follow rules. So you've got that's a double whammy for maybe getting you thrown in somewhere. So one of the first things I say is learn to meditate. Learn to meditate. Learn to sit there and control your mind, and not necessarily go blank, because I'm not very good at that myself, so I'm not going to tell other people that's what they have to do. But research meditation and find one that works for you. Find one that unlocks you. Learn how to do enough energy work so that you can protect yourself and you can keep your energy body healthy. So that can be something as simple as surrounding yourself in white light before you do a meditation. It can be as complicated as, and this is actually a really good practice, when you first go into a meditation, kind of imagine you're next to a wishing well and toss in all of your problems or your stresses or your fears or your worries. Kind of see them drift down into the water till you can't see them anymore. Then surround yourself in white light and go on with the meditation. Because it's very, very important, both for people who have had difficulties, because a lot of times if you've had difficulties and your vibration is not super, super high, you're a lot more likely to call in stuff that you might not want to call in. Don't go just, you know, it's kind of like don't go walk in a dangerous neighborhood if you don't know how to protect yourself. Well, this is exactly the same. Don't just roll into non-physical realm, because it has everything. It runs the gamut. There are definitely entities there who are not out for human well-being and ascension. So you don't just want to fling yourself there. You want to learn how to kind of become a powerful force yourself and a protected force. And so both for people in institutions, that's the first thing I would say, learn to control your mind. For those people who have schizophrenia or they've been diagnosed, I think actually that a lot of people who have schizophrenia, a lot of people who are labeled as criminals, who have voices even telling them what to do, I don't think it's necessarily always that they're imagining things. I think sometimes that stuff is really there. But I also think that they haven't figured out how to integrate it well into their three-dimensional life. And so that's why they seem like they're crazy to people who don't understand these things. And so there is a balancing point that you can find, but it's different for every person. And so you really just kind of have to find it yourself. I can't, like, give a prescription that'll fit everyone, but I can say make that your highest priority, because that helps with everything. And then the second answer is go by what they tell you, what they tell you to do, how they feel, what their advice is like. If someone's telling you that they know better than you, that they are going to teach you, tell you what to do, control you, then that's probably not somebody that's out for your best good. Now, if you have someone who's already telling you you are a divine being and evoking and teaching you how to use positive emotions, love, how to link your heart with your brain, teaching you how to ascend and do things that will benefit others and really benefit them, not kind of tricking you. But you can usually go with what your heart is telling you. If you feel kind of a skeevy feeling, probably not somebody you want to be talking to. And you can tell. You can usually tell. They'll sometimes try to trick you, but once you kind of get the hang of moving around in the non-physical realm, if you're taking good care of yourself and if you're not letting your own ego get out of the way, because it's easy for humans to say, oh, I know spiritual world. I'm better than everybody else. I can control people. I can do things. And that is down the dark side. You don't want to do it. So if you're thinking, I'm in service to humanity, the fact that I know more than some people who are unhappy because they don't know makes me actually a servant to them, because I have to be the one to keep the vibration high. And that's what I think that the scripture or whatever that says you're your brother's keeper, it didn't mean you should control your brother. That's the first step away from divinity. It means you should hold him in your heart and hope for the best for him and do beneficial influence just by searching for your own light. So I think that when you're dealing with, is it a positive ET or a negative ET, actually, I don't really know anyone who's ever been tricked. All the people I know, they can kind of tell. Like, it's like if it's a negative ET, they don't feel very good. And if it's a positive ET, they do. So does that kind of clear it up for you?
Oh, absolutely. And I really appreciate the way you answered that question, as well as your service to humanity. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for calling, Ralph. Bye-bye. We are going to take another call. And one thing that I wanted to interject before we move on is that when you've kind of been in the closet,
mm-hmm.
you have to know your audience.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, and there are ways certainly to test the water, you know, if it were your parents or some other people that you know, you have to be able to test the water, kind of, you know, have them look at a movie that's kind
mm-hmm.
of along those lines and say, well, what did you think of that? And if they're like, well, that person's crazy, then you might want to, you just, you know, speaking your truth is a great thing and it's certainly very, very much needed. But I know that I've worked with a few clients who did that and they were, you know, their parents hauled them off, and now
yeah.
they are institutionalized, and if they don't take
definitely.
Their drugs, it's very, very sad. So,
mm-hmm.
You really have to know your audience when you are
mm-hmm.
speaking your truth, because there is a benefit from cloaking from certain people.
Absolutely.
However, you should never cloak from yourself. You have to be true and honest
right.
to yourself, but also have discernment on who's listening to what you say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so,
you'll see three things. Just real quick, you'll either see their eyes glaze over and they'll kind of stop listening to you. You'll see them get really angry and uncomfortable, or you'll see them say, ooh, I want to learn more. And that's kind of how you judge. And remember, it's not important that everybody know what you know, because we all have our different paths. Some people are meant to go through life and never have a second thought about spirituality, ETs. Some people are meant to live lives as atheists and agnostics. Everybody has their own soul path. And for us to try to imprint ours on other people in any way, that's wrong too, as wrong as it would be to happen the other way around. So sometimes being quiet is
right.
definitely the right thing. Yeah.
Right. Karis, we have Renee on the switchboard now, so we're going to take a little break here and go talk to Renee, and then we will come back and pick up, because we do have more questions for callers, and we'll be back to the chat room as well. So
great.
Just stand by. Right now we're going to bring Renee Barnett online, and she was our guest weeks ago. She is the producer of the movie Bloodline, and she has some news for us. Hello, Renee.
Hi there. How are you?
Well, we're doing just great. It's so good to hear from you.
Well, it's good to be here again. I tell you, I had such a great experience the last time, as I always do. But it was really wonderful and got such a wonderful response. It actually prompted me and also my business partner, Gloria Amendola, into taking some action that Lavendar said I should call in and talk about just briefly. I'm actually
yeah.
playing hooky here at work. I've snuck into the edit bay, which is a nice soundproof room so that I could call. But I've got to get back out. I'm holding up a meeting. And I've just recently joined up here at Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura. So that's my new job, working on this series, and really excited about that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Helping him dig into some of these conspiracies and find out, you know, what the truth is behind them. So that's very exciting.
Oh, that's a great, great opportunity, and you're the perfect person for the job.
Oh, thanks so much. I hope so. I hope so. I'm trying my best to do a good job for them here, so hopefully it'll all work out really great. But what was funny was the last time that I was on, you know, I was talking about Bloodline and my continuing research into that story, into the Holy Grail, into the bloodline of Jesus and Mary, into just the secret societies and special locations that seem to be around the planet that are have particular energy and particular secrets that are hidden, and maybe even treasures that have been hidden long ago. And after I did that show the last time, I got so many amazing messages and emails from your listeners. I was so pleased and flattered and humbled and happy.
Aww.
And and they weren't all about exactly the same thing. You know, some people contacted me about the selenite crystal that we had discovered in the crystal cave at Rimmel Chateau, and others contacted me about other things that we talked about. But a lot of people wrote and said, when are you going back? We want to go. And it's so strange. I didn't have a tour planned for this fall. But after that, and I kept getting email after email, I called Gloria, who lives across the country from me. I'm on the West Coast. She's on the East Coast. And I said, you know, I was on Starseed Academy radio show, and I keep getting all these wonderful people contacting me saying, when are you going to France? When are you going to France? And she said, you know, it's odd because I am too. And I said, well, I think maybe this is a tour that is wanting to be done. And as it turns out, Gloria and I were planning already a research trip back to France in mid-October, but we decided to back it up a little bit and to offer to take people with us. And, you know, the Bloodline team from the film will be there also.
Oh, wow.
And also the many interesting people that live in the region, like Henry Lincoln, who, you know, is one of the authors of Holy Blood, Holy Grail, and actually the grandfather of this mystery in the public consciousness. He's the one that we credit for bringing that out. And he lives right there now, and we always spend time with Henry. But moreover, that the land itself and the geophysical properties that are there that are just amazing, the healing waters, the telluric currents, the ley lines, it's all right there in this very special area. So we're going to be going back.
Renee, are you still? Your microphone is cut out. Renee, are you still there? Hello? Uh-oh. Well, I don't know what has happened. Her mic is still on. Renee, well, you've been cut off at your end. Oh, well, that was really exciting until she got cut off. Excuse me. So she's going back. We still have to get the rest of the information. Lavendar, do you know? Maybe she'll call back in. Because she's now, because of all the emails and response that she's had from our listeners, she's taking them back over to France. What a great trip that's going to be. Lavendar, are you still with us? Looks like Lavendar. There is something strange going on with the switchboard tonight, I'm afraid to tell you.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, Lavendar's back. Let me get her back on. Hey, the switchboard is kind of acting up tonight, but you're back on, Lavendar.
Okay, yeah, I was cut off a while ago and had to come back in.
Oh, Renee's
back. I think Renee will probably call back in when she realizes.
Okay, she's back. Okay, you're back, Renee. Hello, Renee, are you're there? Your phone, you're back. Hello? Well, something isn't working, and everything looks fine, so I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Let me try putting her on hold again, and then, Renee, can you hear me? We can't hear you if you're talking, sweetie. why don't you try hanging up and call him back in again, if you can hear me. Okay, she just did. She heard me. So she can hear me, but we can't hear her. Okay, and Mercury's not going retrograde until next week, which is something that you might all want to make note of. Mercury goes retrograde August 2nd, when stuff like this will be happening all over the place. Okay, Renee's back. Hello, Renee, can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, yay!
You know, I don't know if it's my phone or what, but I switched phones. So I'm calling out on another phone here at the office, so I don't know what happened, but I apologize for that.
Well, it's not your fault. I was just saying that, you know, retrograde, I mean, Mercury is slowing down, but it shouldn't be doing this already.
I know it. So. Now, we're not due for that until, like, next Tuesday. Isn't that right, or something like that?
Yeah, the second. So give us the details on this trip. We're on the edge of our seats.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry. We decided to put it out there that we're offering a trip from October the 2nd to the 8th. To basically to the area of Rennes-le-Château, France, which is in the Languedoc region of southern France. We station ourselves in that area, and then every day we go to different locations. There's so many things to see and experience there that we don't really have to leave anywhere. We stay at night at this one place, and everything is within a 2 or 3 mile area. It's unbelievable. And there's the healing waters, the old Roman baths, you know, that people still come from all around to experience those waters there. And I have a friend who says when he bathes in the water, he doesn't have to use his insulin, and he's a diabetic. A lot of people have reports like that. But there are also some very interesting and magical earth elements there, but also there's some amazing old, you know, castles and the remnants of the Cathar people who, you know, were basically wiped out during the Inquisition, but their spirit is still very, very strong there. And anyone who's interested in hearing more, if they want to let you guys know, or if they want to email me directly, at Renee K. Barnett, RENEKBARNETT, at gmail.com. I'll be happy to send them some information. We have a little bit written up, but honestly, this was not a planned thing at all. It actually planned itself, and I said, I think we need to do this because people are wanting it, and, you know, if people feel moved to go, then we should go. And then I called Lavendar, and she said, yeah, she says, absolutely, let's put it out there and see what happens. So it just kind of evolved on its own.
Wow. Wow. And give your email address again, please.
It's Renee, R-E-N-E-K, Barnett, B-A-R-N-E-T-T, at gmail.com, or they can go to the movie site. It's bloodlinethemovie.com, and email me through there or through my radio show website, which is nightvisionproductions.com. So any number of those ways, or find me on Facebook. I'm very much on Facebook, and there's a couple of different Renee Barnetts, but you'll see me because I'm sitting in front of a Bloodline poster in my picture. So,
okay.
And I'm located in Los Angeles, so they can distinguish me from that. But I would love to hear from anyone who would be interested. If you feel like this resonates with you, please let us know right away, because this is something, as I said, we're just coming up with now only because people are asking. And so I want to find out, are you really serious? Do you really want to go? Because we would be happy to escort everyone over. And Gloria and I have each been there many, 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 many times and are very familiar with the land, with the different sites. Gloria is a magnificent teacher and a shaman, and she's really wonderful. And then, of course, we'll hook up with all kinds of wonderful people there.
You know, this is Lavendar, and I'm going to be on your show tomorrow night. So would you
you
like
sure
to give
are.
That website about the show tomorrow night?
Absolutely. Well, there is a live chat room going while we will be talking, so anybody that has any comments or questions for either myself or for Lavendar can go to nightvisionproductions.com. That's nightvisionproductions, plural, .com. The radio show, and there's also a place where it says click here to listen live, and it'll take you to the radio station site. But if you're not interested in joining the live chat and just want to hear the show, you can go to latalkradio.com, and we're on channel 2, and it'll be 8 o'clock Pacific time. So adjust your time zone to that, and we'd love to have you listening live. It's also available on iTunes, and it's also archived at iTunes. It's also archived on latalkradio.com. If you miss it, you can go back and listen to it later.
Great.
It's just
great.
1 hour.
Well,
so, you know, I'll be talking with Lavendar all hour. I'll try to incorporate any comments and questions as they come into the chat room into the program.
Excellent.
I'm excited. We always have such a good time with Lavendar, and there's always so much to talk about. And I always turn around, and the clock says it's time to go, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, I got to have her back again.
Well, it's great. Yeah, well, I will certainly be tuning in tomorrow night, and I want to thank you for playing hooky from your meeting and spending this time.
Oh, I know it. I know they actually gave me permission, so it wasn't too much of a hooky playing. I went into my boss and I said, are we really starting the meeting at 5, or are we, you know, we're going to be a little later, you want to have it in the morning? He goes, no, we'll have it at 5. And I said, oh. He goes, well, why? I said, well, there's a radio show I wanted to participate in. He goes, that's fine. We'll postpone the meeting. You go ahead. So that was very sweet of them.
Okay. All right. Well, good. Then
good team over here at Conspiracy
Theory.
It is a good
team. Well, we do thank you so much for joining us, and I'll look forward to your show tomorrow night.
Thanks, everyone. I hope you will listen in and hear what Lavendar has to say to all of us. And anyone that's interested in that trip or getting more information on it, just shoot me an email. And also, if you can't get through to me somehow, Ariel and Lavendar know how to reach me by email, and they can forward it. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, thank you so much, Renee.
Take care,
bye-bye.
Everybody. Bye.
Okay. Bye. All right. Well, that was great news, and I'm glad that Renee is spontaneous enough to respond when the energy leads her like that. Well, we are going to get back. Where did Karis go? There you are. Okay.
I'm here.
Hi there.
Hi.
We are going to get back to questions with author Karis Brown Malloy and her newly is it newly released? When did you release your book?
Yeah, June 15th was the release date.
So it is a newly released book called mm-hmm. Journal of a Starseed. We have another caller. This is Hugh. Hang on, let me get the mic open. Hello, Hugh. You're on the air. You have a question for Karis.
Yes. I believe my wife and I were a starseed couple. She passed about 4 years ago, and she taught me probably the most important lesson we're all here to learn, that's unconditional love. And recently, back in April, I came into contact with a woman. I never met her in person in another state, who's holding a place of unconditional love in her heart for the world. And I extended my unconditional love to her, and she accepted that. But communications started breaking down a little bit here and there, and it was basically from her end. And now mm-hmm. she seems to have cut them, but not totally, but not communicating at all right now. So I'm wondering if there is a twin flame connection, and that's part of the problem, or if I should just move on.
Well, I'm not how to answer this, because what I think is sometimes love is meant to last for a lifetime, romantic love, and sometimes it isn't. And that doesn't make it in any way less rich or beneficial or important to your current incarnation's path of ascension. But if the other person isn't returning the, isn't reflecting your love back at you, then I would say ask a point blank question: should we end our romantic relationship? And don't beat around the bush, because I've had an interesting romantic history myself, and I've been in love many times with many, well, many, you know, not that many, but enough to say I have a few times. But all of them weren't for my entire life, obviously. So being able to disengage with as much joy as you could engage and be happy that it happened, and then look forward to the next one. If you want to have another love enter your life, make the request to the universe. If you don't, if you want to be alone for a while, I would recommend being alone for just a little while so you can kind of recalibrate and be a good partner for another person rather than need to kind of fill the void that this person leaving has left. But before we even get there, I would say just point blank ask her, hey, I'm not feeling the same things from you that I used to. Should I move on? And if she says no, then say...
That's what I wanted to hear, because she sort of set up that she doesn't want me to contact her, and she has some misjudgments about me. So I've never met her in person.
That's why...
But we're so good for co-creating for mankind. That's why I'm hesitant as far as just stepping away quickly.
But if other people aren't, that's the thing, you can't control another person. And so if she is going through something that makes her an incompatible mate for you, because it's not about good or bad, it's about resonance and whether or not you're both compatible. Because if she's someone who's not interacting with you the way that you would want her to, then she's not compatible for you. It's not just that there's something wrong with you and not compatible for her. She's not the kind of mate that you would want. That's the hardest thing to kind of wrap your head around when you feel like you've been rejected.
Well, that was very good advice. I thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Hugh.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, thank you. That was a very good answer, Karis. Let's see. Looks like we don't have any new questions from the chat room. Is that right, Purple Sage? We still have no new questions from.
That's right.
Okay.
People are listening, but no questions yet.
Okay. Well, that means that Karis is doing a good job.
She really is. There's comments on the chat saying that they really love the way that she teaches, because she's understandable and they're really getting what she says.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad. Sometimes I wonder if anyone's going to know what the heck I'm saying. So it's nice. I know I talk really fast, and I like to apologize for that, but there's nothing I can do. It just comes out. I can't even try to slow it down.
Well, good job, Paris.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Purple Sage, and let me know if there are more questions, okay?
I sure will.
Okay, great. Bye-bye. Well, yeah, I know what they're talking about, because you have it's so much of a normal story for such an abnormal story, if you know what I mean.
Right. Right.
And certainly, our audience is completely on the same beam as far as the experiences may be different, but the meanings and the vehicles that those experiences come through are very much a common thread. And I know that in our forum. That we have a Starseed Support Forum, very, very typical. And sitting as Lavendar and I do, looking at charts and doing readings for people, that we see patterns it's an overall, and we get people from all over the world, and we see these patterns of soul groups, and it's just amazing to watch the intricate artistry of the I don't know what to call it, the design.
It's like a mandala. It's almost like a fractal. You see the pictures of those fractals, and you can zoom in, it's the same, and you can zoom out, and it's the same. It's like that. And now is such a fun time to be alive for starseeds. I mean, they say that one of the reasons the Earth population is so high, because kind of everyone wants to be here for the party, so a lot of people are incarnating all at once. And I really think that that's true. I mean, there are so many people now popping up and saying, yeah, I've had these experiences, and yeah, me too. And one of the things that I've been told over and over and over by my guides is that, yes, it's difficult, but the truth is you're a cosmic being, and this goes for everyone. You are a cosmic, infinitely large, infinitely powerful piece of God being. So this one little life, yeah, it's hard sometimes and it's painful sometimes. It's really challenging, but that's what makes it fun. Because if there weren't stakes, then we would all be really bored. So now we're able to kind of run amok with our light shining, whereas before, I mean, we've had the Inquisition, we've had the Dark Ages, we've had the witch burnings, we've had all these things, and finally now, and a lot of us have incarnated during that and been punished during it. I know that I have. And most of the starseeds I know have. So now we can be out, and it's not dangerous anymore, which is great.
Oh, I know what you mean. There's, again, there's a huge community, both, you know, online and in, you know, community pockets around where people are gathering. And now is the time of the gathering, and mm-hmm. and we see this, like I said, the soul groups coming back together again,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. and people with similar star markings, and that is like the beauty and wonder of mm-hmm. Lavendar's discovery of markings is how mm-hmm. There is a rhyme and reason. And it's all right there in plain sight. It's hidden in plain sight, as they say.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, in the astrological chart, and you can, and I see it because I get, or like I'll have someone, an adult, receive a confirmation. They get their reading, and then they want their children as well. And I mm-hmm. see the same markings and patterns and congruities
right.
between the parents and the children, and
yeah,
and it's really remarkable, and it teaches me more about the grand design
mm-hmm,
in
mm-hmm.
in doing the work, and everybody has different talents and skills and missions that they are here working on. But one thing that you said earlier that I'd like to reiterate, we all have at least one mission in common, and that is
mm-hmm.
to be like midwives through this
absolutely.
Shift, and
yes.
and not only helping hold the global consciousness at a high enough frequency to make the shift less
painful,
disrupting,
yeah.
painful.
Yeah.
You know, because I've heard from many sources. I don't know if your if your contacts have inferred the same, but
mm-hmm.
the higher the global consciousness vibration, the less severe the
yes.
natural disasters will be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've been told that it's still up in the air. We still don't know what will happen. The time hasn't yet come for us to know how disruptive it'll be. And something else that perfectly corresponds with what you're saying is that now that we're all here, and that we're so many of us are popping our heads up and saying, yeah, me too, I want to get in on this group knowledge of what's happening, we can do work. For instance, the drought right now in the Horn of Africa, we can all of us in our meditations as we're going about our day, we can all send love and healing and peaceful resolution of karmic debt to that area, and that will help Gaia to heal it, because it's not a problem with the humans, it's a problem with Gaia. She has a drought there. It's an imbalance. Something's happening with her. So if we can heal Gaia there, humans are just a part of Gaia, as are the plants and the animals. So we can do all this work. And I would say, every one of you who are listening who do meditation, first of all, if you don't meditate, definitely do. Everything will work better for you. Try to do it daily. You only need about 10 minutes. You can get a good one in that long. But during it, at some point, kind of zoom out and look at Gaia, ask her what she needs, and give her help. We're exactly like midwives, and any little bit that you can do, when you take a step in your yard, imagine sending healing energy down through that impact, that vibration of your foot hitting the grass. When you walk by a tree, reach up and stroke the leaves as you go by and send love into that tree. Every little bit does more help than you would believe if I told you. So keep it in mind, because that is something that we can do and we can make a huge difference on. And the nice thing is, well, you might never know what could have happened. Well, I'll take that. I'll take
right.
it. If we don't know what bad could have happened, then we have to see it happen.
Yeah, we don't have to know how bad can get.
Right. And
right.
so some
and
people might be saying, oh, nothing happened in 2012. And all of us who know will go, sure, nothing happened. You know what I mean?
You're welcome.
Yeah, exactly.
the single mission that we all have in common is just that, and maintaining as high a frequency in your everyday life, just being the best person with the highest, you know, vibration that you can maintain is the work. And a lot of starseeds, they have this feeling of urgency, like I'm supposed to be doing something, and
mm-hmm.
they make the assumption that it is something monumental, that
yeah,
that
it
is yet to be undone. Do I have to go and, you know, start a school or build a mountain or, you know, put millions of acres of trees back on the planet? And it really
mm-hmm.
is just as simple as holding your own vibration as high as you possibly can, as often
mm-hmm.
as long as you possibly can, and
mm-hmm.
and speaking in, you know, words of light, and just standing in your own light. That's what it boils
yes.
down to, stand in your own
yes.
light. And that is your mission. Now, in addition to that, there may be some that are doing crystal work, and there may be some who are
mm-hmm.
doing writing, and there's some that are doing, because there's plenty of jobs for everybody, but
right.
there's at least one thing we all have in common, and it's
mm-hmm.
it's I always stress that in the readings, and I'm doing it again now.
yeah. Well, you're absolutely right, and it can be. And when you stay in your vibration, then that puts you in alignment with what you're supposed to be doing. So you might not even know yet. I have a friend named Caitlin Keat, and she actually manufactures products that raise your vibration when you wear them. She uses sacred earth. She downloads things as she's meditating, and they just tell her how to make these little products that definitely work. I mean, I've seen amazing things happen. But anyway, she does speeches sometimes, and one thing I heard her say, because it's fantastic advice, is moment to moment to moment, make the decision that just makes you feel happier. Do I drink orange juice or chocolate milk this morning? Do I, you know, little things like that, because we are coming out of the time of logic and into the time of the heart. So even if it doesn't make logical sense, if you do the thing that makes your heart kind of jump and makes you feel good, then it's going to come back around and you're going to be so glad that you did. So it can be moment to moment to moment. And then once you've realized that you've spent an entire day doing the stuff that makes you feel good and makes you feel better and makes you feel even better, then all of a sudden a miracle happens. You say, huh, how did I put myself right where that could fall into my lap? And you did it by maintaining that high vibration and resonating at the frequency that miracle resonated at, so it could appear in your life.
Right. Well, that is the, you know, the movie, the Secret, and what the bleep
mm-hmm.
do we know. And it
mm-hmm.
is the Abraham Hicks message,
mm-hmm.
which is exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
And it is manifestational in its nature,
mm-hmm.
and it's simply follow your bliss.
Yes, and that's often hard to do, because a lot of times it does not go with logic. A lot of people tell you to do the thing that makes
right.
you depressed and sad and sleepwalking.
right. Well, logic has its place,
mm-hmm.
but it's not in the driver's seat.
Yes, it should
you know,
be a tool, not the captain of the ship. It needs to be one of the
that's
things
right.
that you
well,
can
that's
use.
And Mr.
Yeah.
Spock was always second in command. Remember the fact. Mr.
You're
Spock
right.
was always second in command, and then it was Kirk who went on gut instinct and intuition and hunches that
right.
he was always the hero. So logic does have its place, but...
Yeah. And it did teach us a lot of things, this time of duality. It's been really important because we've learned things we wouldn't have learned otherwise. And so it's not that, oh, this world is so horrible. It's more difficult, yeah, but it was necessary. And if you don't like it, then make a new one, you know?
Well, it really is, it comes down to, like I said, you just follow your bliss and do whatever you need to do to stay in that high vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that there are technologies at work that are contrary to that achievement. And
mm-hmm.
and if you start feeling, you know, because sometimes I'll wake up and I'll be in a mood that has absolutely no reason for being.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, okay, well, extra cell phones, they, you know, our harp is on today, or there's some kind of, you know, program that's being floated through the air, empathing other people's moods, whatever it is. You have to have the discernment to say, this feeling is not originating
not
with
me.
Maybe.
I mean, yeah, either way, daily maintenance is extremely important for starseeds and lightworkers, extremely important. You can't just meditate when you feel like it. You have to make sure you have a maintenance, because that way you don't get out of hand and then need to recover. That way you can keep yourself pretty buoyant without needing to really think about it. Say, okay, I showered, now it's time to meditate every single day, just like brushing your teeth, because that's what's going to keep you. It's like a violin. I heard someone say that the better the violin is, the more beautiful it plays, and the better it works, the more often it needs to be tuned. So it kind of goes both ways. The more alive your instrument is, whatever your particular instrument is, the cleaner you got to keep it. You have to keep your body healthy. You have to keep your mind healthy. Watch your thoughts. Make sure you're only thinking things that you would wish to think in your ideal self, the way your opinions and your emotions run. You have to keep your spiritual body healthy by meditation and keeping yourself energetically clear. You have to connect with the earth on a regular basis. These are things that should just be part of being an adult human, period.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Plus, you have to take your silica. We teach this to, I mean, week in and week out, and we keep reiterating it until it just becomes a natural way. But star seeds were designed to require more silica to maintain those vibrations, that higher frequency, and also the ease of contact. All depends on your silica supply. And if you are depleted, and cell phones, computers, cell towers, any electromagnetic producing source sucks the silica out of your body. So the environment that we're living in is actually, it's like putting earplugs in.
Right.
Or not having, you know, or when you have your cell phone and you don't have enough bars, you can't pick up a signal. So,
yeah.
So we tell everybody over and over again at every opportunity, are you taking your silica? And you can get it anywhere. It comes in all different forms. And just take some every day. You cannot OD on it. And and it can, because a lot of starseed they suffer with feelings of isolation, loneliness.
Yeah.
I'm so far from home, and my family's not my real family, and they get depressed very easily.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's hard. Third dimension is hard, and
yes.
And if you take enough silica, in most cases, I mean, there could be other reasons for that, those things happening, but in most cases, the silica will fix that. You
wow.
know, it's almost like
you can go
happy
get a bottle
pill.
Of tomorrow.
You can, yeah, really. I mean, think what you've done without it. You may have a natural. Abundant supply that is impervious or something, but the average starseed needs to have adequate silica intake, and if you take one a day and that does it, great. And if one isn't doing it, then take two, because you cannot you can't OD on it. It's never toxic. You just excrete what you don't use, and. And those feelings of You know, and I mean, it happens. It happens to the best of us. It happens at some point, no matter how evolved you are, no matter how along you are in your path. You know, sometimes you wake up and you feel the weight and the responsibility.
Oh, absolutely.
And just you feel like, and things like, well, what's the use? Who cares? And those thoughts start sabotaging your path.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot to take my silica. And you know, start taking it again, and you'll start feeling better pretty quick. I mean, within a few days, you'll start feeling better because it does help you keep your frequency higher. And it keeps you more connected to your off-world sources, who then can help you better.
Right.
You know,
yeah, that
if
makes
you
sense.
Have
mm-hmm.
you have that. So, let me roll down the switchboard here, and we do have a question now from the chat room. So
okay.
I'm going to check back in with Purple Sage.
Howdy.
Hello, Purple Sage.
Hello. We have a listener who wants to know what your view on reptilians is and if you have ever met any.
My view on reptilians. Okay. This is what I think of reptilians. I think reptilians are races of extraterrestrials who have had a lot of dealings with people on Earth. I think that they've been interacting with us since the beginning I don't know if it's the actual beginning. I'm still pretty foggy myself on human origins. I've only been told things that could still be taken a few different ways. So, but I do know that reptilians have been in prominent negative positions. So many people think that all reptilians are out to enslave humanity. I don't believe that that's true. I do think that some of them are. I haven't encountered these, so I don't want to give the wrong idea, but just from things that I've heard so often, until I hear anything that unbalances it, I can't say this doesn't happen, okay? But I do know that I have myself seen reptilian, or at least one reptilian extraterrestrial, who was dealing with a contactee and was in a group that is out for human ascension. So reptilians, just like you can't say a race of people is all a certain way, you can't say a race of extraterrestrials also, because there are different races of reptilians. They're not all the same guys. They're not even necessarily all from the same planet or even the same star system. I don't know, but I definitely know there's more than one type. So you can't say that, oh my gosh, you're reptilian, run the other way. You can say, be discerning. See what they're doing, what their motivations are, how they make you feel. Because reptilians are just a type. Now, I know that their minds are often more logical and computerish. I know it's not a word, but I just made it up. And that could strike some people as cold. Doesn't mean they're necessarily cold. You know, if you've ever talked to someone who has autism or Asperger's disorder, they kind of seem like they're jerks because they don't show any emotion. They have emotion. They just don't show it. So if you don't know what you're dealing with, you might assume something that might not be true. And I can tell you that for a long time, my guides were very stern with me, and I would joke and say they were yelling at me when they weren't necessarily. They were just down to business. This is before I realized that they were. So I think that be careful with reptilians because they do have a bad rap, and it's for a good reason, I think. I can't tell you completely surely, but I do know that I've seen at least one reptilian out for human ascension. So I hope that answers your question well enough. I know it doesn't really answer it, but yeah.
Oh, I think it answers it pretty good, and I totally agree with you. In fact, I was having this conversation with somebody today online that, you know, every race has its good and its bad. You know, they're not all good, and they're not all bad, so totally agree with you.
I know that's also true for the grays. Some people think the grays are out for the horrible dreams that humanity is afraid of, but I definitely know that's not true for all grays. I can't speak for all grays, but I know that the ones that I talk to are definitely out for human ascension. So there you go.
Yep,
out
there you go.
Some have done nasty things, but yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
That's the only question I have for right now.
Oh, great. Okay. I guess that means you're doing good.
Okay.
Oh, another tip for star-seeded people is make sure you get enough sunlight. It's really important. Go outside.
With with caution because of the solar flares and the electromagnetic radiation.
Well, that's true. Yeah, don't go nuts.
You need to, you need to be very discerning about how much is enough and how much is too much, and what days. There are certain days that you shouldn't go out, and other days when it's not as dangerous because the solar flare activity is down, but it can. It can be a trick bag. One day it's good for you, and the next day it's not. So
use your discernment. See how you feel.
Yeah,
I know that it feels different when you're out too. Sometimes you feel like, oh, I don't really want to be out here for much longer, and sometimes you're like, oh, the sun is amazing. So it's just kind of, and different people need different amounts. Like, I need a lot of sun, but I'm of a more tropical ethnic group, so it makes sense that I do. So there you go.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Purple Sage. And thank you to the folks in the chat room for being with us tonight. Well, we only have a few more minutes, so I think this will be the last check-in with the chat room. So, Lavendar, are you still with us? I know we've been monopolizing the conversation.
Yes, I'm still here. This is a marvelous show because the questions that have been asked, she takes it a little deeper than surface answers, and I really appreciate that, because she gives a full picture, not just a half picture, and that's a really important thing. So I really want to be able to keep up with you and know what's happening with your story and where you're going to take it next. What are your plans for expanding?
Well, right now I'm doing a few more shows and things like that over the next few weeks, but I'll be changing locations. I'm currently located in Pennsylvania, and I'm moving down to Virginia, so I'm looking to kind of get a small book tour going. I've already had a few book signings, but I chose to self-publish because I was worried that if I went with a big publishing company, they would mess around with the story, tell me to build certain things up or shrink certain things down, and I knew that it had to be exactly the way that it happened, and I couldn't embellish anything. I couldn't cut things out that needed to be in there, although everything isn't in there because it would be a 1,000-page volume. But all of the news and everything that I do is on the event page at www.journalofthestarseed.com. And you can also find my Facebook link there. And on Facebook, I'm always there posting stuff, and that's an easy way to get in touch with me, too, because I log into Facebook at least once a day. So, yeah, feel free to email me if anyone has any questions or just wants to know anything or comment or whatever. And, yeah, it's going as it goes. Journal of a Starseed was a book that kind of wrote itself, so the book tour is kind of creating itself, too. I'm just going along for the ride and trying to keep up.
Well, we do not have any more questions on the switchboard nor from the chat room. So, Sierra, do you have any final wrap-up type comments?
I think I'm all, can you hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. I'm with Lavendar. I've just really appreciated how far and in-depth and kind of pulling people down along the rabbit hole a little bit further past their question and really understanding that there's more to what the question is. So I do appreciate that. So that's it. Thank you so much for being here. I've just really, really enjoyed it, and I will be giving you a call.
Oh, please do, really. I love talking to other contactees and sharing stories, and it's been wonderful being here. It is so nice to be on a show where people already know about these things so I can really get into it. You know, a lot of it's been, don't be scared. I know this sounds crazy. This is what happened. I swear I'm a normal person. So it's kind of nice to be around kindreds who already know, oh, yeah, this stuff happens, and it's nothing to be afraid of, so let's just get down and dirty and talk about it. So this is great.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again. It's been a joy.
Thank you.
Now, Karis, you mentioned a forum that you are administrator on.
Oh, yes.
I believe it's cosmicu.us.
Yes, it's cosmicu.us, and it's a free forum. It's pretty good with information. We always have users uploading videos and uploading audio clips. Now, since our users do it and there's not anyone, I mean, we approve them, but we pretty much just approve everything because we're not, it's only three people who run it. So we just kind of let everything come. So you have to use your discretion. I have seen some videos there that I'm kind of like, I don't think that's exactly the way that things are, but it's still a great source of information because there's a lot of things on there that is that are fantastic. And there are a lot of good discussions, great articles. And if anyone goes to Cosmic U, I am the administrator named Grace Light. And I didn't use my actual name because when Cosmic U started, I was still in the closet. So I wasn't ready to use my actual name. And now that I'm out of the closet, I just keep that, although they know my real name too. So, yeah, I would say come over and join and take a peek around. There's lots of stuff there, and there's more every day. So if you just want to go, it's good for inspirational stuff. It's good for educational stuff. And also there's a great community. We don't have any negativity on the forum. We're very careful to keep the energy there very pure and light-filled. So it's a nice, friendly place for people to come and get some community.
And if they wanted to contact you on that forum, perhaps to ask more questions or compare notes, did you say it was Grace Light?
Grace Light, yeah. It's all one word. And there are only three administrators. So, yeah,
okay.
You'll see me.
They would be
right,
able to
yeah,
contact
I'm all over the place.
You there. Or through
yes,
your, for the journal of astarseed.com, I imagine
mm-hmm.
there's also contact through there. And please go out and get a copy of Journal of a Starseed by Karis Brown Malloy. And we really, really thank you so much for spending this time with us. And we'll hope that you will keep us informed and posted on the progress of your book and new information that you get that you feel needs to get out. This
yes.
would be a good place for you to come and you know, spread the word whenever you get it.
Absolutely. Thank you. This has been wonderful and so much fun.
Well, you're so welcome. Well, Lavendar, Tammy, Purple Sage, I'm turning all of your microphones on here. Purple Sage wants to know where in Pennsylvania?
I'm in northeastern Pennsylvania in the coal region. I'm actually going to be doing a couple fairs around this area. One's in Tamaqua and one's in Lake Harmony. So they're all on journalofastarseed.com. I just did a book signing in Jim Thorpe a couple weeks ago, and I think I might kind of be up there every now and then on the spur of the moment to sell some books and talk to some people. Which is and Jim Thorpe, if you've never been there and if you're close, it's a fantastic place, great energy. Definitely go check it out.
Northeastern Pennsylvania?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm about an hour from Allentown, an hour from, what is the place on The Office, that TV show? Oh, I don't remember what it's Scranton.
Oh. Are
yeah,
you, are you on the lake?
A city called Hazleton. No, no, I'm up in the mountains.
Northeastern. Okay.
Yeah.
You said
yeah,
Northeastern, and my mind went to Northwestern
mm-hmm.
because that's
yeah.
where I'm from.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to be moving down to Virginia in the end of August. So I'll be doing a lot of things in Charlottesville, a lot of things in Washington, D.C. I'll be doing some stuff in Richmond. So, and hopefully I'm thinking I'll probably do a whole East Coast book tour, and eventually I'll make it back out to California. I lived there until March, so I'll probably just head back out and do a couple things out around the Los Angeles region. So,
okay,
yeah, I'll keep
there.
You updated. going back. Yeah, I came back, and it's lovely to live in but not to stay in. Yeah.
Right, right. Well, ladies, Lavendar, Sierra, Tammy, Purple Sage, all of your microphones are open, so we want to say thank you so much to our audience. Thanks to the folks in the chat room. Special thanks to Karis Brown Malloy for joining us. And we all say good night, everyone. Join us next week, same time, same place.
Good night. Good night. Thank you.
Good night.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.